Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And you gotta like pick like two hats and oh you haven't been able to hear me.
No.
You gotta pick like two hats and just stick with those two hats because I like to reuse pictures for thumbnails.
Just use the pictures, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. Every now and then I will have to, just because I get frustrated looking for a new, you know, face to use from that current video, yeah. And sometimes the others don't fit because the hats don't match, but mine's the same with the jackets and stuff like that. But yeah. Ooh, man, we get to talk about one of your favorite subjects today. Excuse me, gonna be some Snyder talk. So let's get this started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse, YouTube channel and podcast network, available on all your favorite podcast apps like Spotify and Google, Apple, whatnot. I'm getting over my cold, but I'm Kyle. That's Manny, and yeah, we got a lot of great content here on the channel: anime, Star Wars, Marvel. Everything else you can imagine, actually. So yeah, check it all out. And Snyder, let's jump into it, man, because Zack Snyder tweeted out, for those of you that haven't seen it, a little teaser video, little message in a deep voice, allegedly, or not allegedly, I mean, you can see it's Darkseid, you know, a message from Lord Darkseid, and they say to be prepare for an announcement between April 28th and April 30th, which, one, is kind of weird to say, hey, here's a window for an announcement with this, but and the hashtag is full circle, but two, the oddity is using, you know, the DC character in a DC way, with a guy tied directly to past DC projects. I mean, we all know, you can go through the comments and you can see people, including Watch Mojo, trying to say, talk about completing the Snyderverse, and people all desperately wanting it to be a movie. You still have idiots talking about Netflix buying it, the Snyderverse. Some people wondering if it's related to a Snyder convention, Snyder Con, which is apparently gonna be a thing. We're back. Oh my god. But I actually am wondering if it's more like a comic, maybe even a motion comic, to finish up the Zack Snyder Justice League story. But I think it's wrong for him to kind of tease it like this, and knowing how what it's going to do with his fan base, especially since you and I both know that the likelihood of it being another movie is the same likelihood of me getting struck by lightning in the next 5 minutes with those clear skies outside. I don't know. What do you think about the announcement, and what do you think it might be?
I hate it, man. Like, such an attention whore now. Like, yeah. If you think about it, since and to some degree, I get it when Josh Whedon completely ruined his vision of that movie. And his direction, really.
I mean, the studio had a hand in that as well. So
I know, but okay, when his movie was ruined, period.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, just releasing little things here, and just giving those delusional people hope that
exactly
the Snyderverse is gonna return. It's not, but you never know. Stranger things are happening. James Gunn is directing Superman, which has me very worried. And who's to say he's not part of Gunn's plan?
Gee.
Because you know,
stop giving him hope, because you know that's not it.
you know that Snyder's really good at dark and gritty movies. And you might need a dark and gritty director for that specific side of the universe.
Could you imagine if he is I don't think there'll ever be a continuation of the Snyderverse the way some are thinking, but what if God, could you imagine the outrage? What if Snyder's being asked to come direct New Gods, because
yeah, that's what I'm saying,
will be a big part of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or maybe Gunn talked it out with him and everything, and it's like, okay, you can't do that nightmare crap you wanted to do, but let's do it. Let's finish it up with Darkseid. Let's do something like, you remember that, what's that film called, Supergirl, where she goes and she actually joins Darkseid for a minute, and then Batman and Superman end up taking on Apocalypse and just beating him down. It's an animated movie. It's pretty good. But I mean, if you wanted to do like a maybe one Elseworld continuation to kind of wrap that up. I'm just throwing ideas out, man. What do you honestly think it is?
I have no clue.
No clue. Yeah. Because I don't think it's a comic book. I don't think Zack Snyder wants to write comic books per se. And so, yeah, I don't know. But just the fact that he's saying full circle, it makes me feel like something's going to be completed. That's really my thought on it.
Animated movie, maybe?
Maybe. Could be.
That's why I mentioned like motion comic or something like that. I don't know.
But all I know is that him putting it out there like that is such an like...
Yeah, especially he's since it's not even a solid, you know, be ready on April 29th or April 30th. It's like between these dates, which makes you feel like it's not necessarily something tied directly to DC Warner Brothers, because they would want it to be very, very specific. And makes me wonder if Cam and others are right that this has to do with the Snyder Con thing. Maybe it's coming full circle to the fans.
I can't believe that's a Snyder Con happening.
New convention of sorts. Dude, it's ridiculous, right? I'll be curious as to what numbers it pulls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be like a Galaxy Con in Virginia or North Carolina? Or is it going to push... You know, it's not going to be no New York or... San Diego
of course not,
but you know, will it be like a bigger regional con type thing, or will it be smaller, like your local college arena convention type thing? Like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. No idea, but whatever it is, the what it's doing is it's stirring up people that we thought we had calmed down a bit.
It is stirring up the pot, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So like I said, for me, the big kind of telltale was it's a window. It's kind of limited in branding and imagery. That's why it made me think at most comic, but no, at least yeah. this SnyderCon thing. So, but like I said, it's kind of a dick move to tease it like this because of the fan base, man.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of like the dick moves that Marvel made with WandaVision. WandaVision and Spider-Man No Way Home and so much more that borrowed from these stories with Mephisto. And I know that we're finally getting him, but it's like, well, was he a part of that other stuff? Or allegedly we're getting him, but yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Better die already.
Have you seen Shazam 2 yet?
No, we're actually watching that. We're having a day on Saturday. We're gonna be at the movies all day. We need to catch, because it's funny we don't go to the movies one weekend, and now we're figuring out how to fit 4 movies this weekend. So we're watching Scream 2, watching 65.
Scream 6, you mean?
What, Scream 2 of the new one. 65, Champions, and Shazam.
Yeah.
So.
So, reviews for Shazam, Fury of the Gods, have hit, of course. And they're not that hot. It's got a 63 right now from critics on Rotten Tomatoes. A lot of people going through that it's a hefty 2-hour-plus movie with admirable zip. And that makes it impressive given the fact it's almost impossible to work out what's going on half the time. It's fun to see Dame Helen Mirren play a literal god, and Levi remains a highlight in the often too serious DCEU. And something's going on with my icons. Okay, there we go. Fury of the Gods does not retain the charm of its predecessor. Let's see here. Within Shazam, Fury of the Gods is an enjoyable, earnest buddy comedy starring Jack Dylan Grazer and Jimon Hansu. I'm sorry, I know I don't know how to pronounce his name correctly. Unfortunately, you have to watch the rest of Shazam, Fury of the Gods to see it. So it's like even the main characters aren't necessarily the stars, according to that person, or the best part of it, I should say. So much pointless, monotonous, repetitive fantasy fighting occupies the runtime, contributing to one of the most uninteresting of all the DC entries. A couple positive, the film reaches for the scale and sweep of a gods and monsters epic, but still roots it in the intimacy of a family drama. And Shazam Fury of the Gods is a sequel that betters the already impressive original tale. It's all over the place. A lot of, hey, it's cluttered, kind of messy, and then a lot of, we like it. So, like, despite the flaws, we like it. 63, not the worst score, not the best score. It's really weird to see some rate it like 2 out of 5, 3 or 4 out of 10, and then see someone giving it a 9 out of 10. That's just like, whoa.
Well, I can tell you it's not going to be a 9, but I can also tell you it's not going to be a 2.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be between that 6 and 7 range. But here's the thing. I don't care. I'm just going for a good time. Zach Levi, he brings good energy. Some of the kids also are young adults now. And then, of course, like you just mentioned, Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu. And I didn't have any expectations for the first one. I don't have expectations for this one. I'm just here for a good time, basically. Because like what is this movie supposed to do anyway? Like, if you think about it, like what kind of expectations am I supposed to set for a Shazam movie? Other than that kind of childish banter that you're actually supposed to get. Like, if you think of kids, like, they do repetitive jokes and they do things a little different. Like, it's like,
yeah,
Shazam is a very unique superhero in which a child is piloting him. Yeah. So yeah, it may be a little off-putting to some, because you know, you once you see him in his full suit and everything, you expect him to be a little bit more mature. No, that's a kid. That's actually a kid. So it's fine. It's all over the place. That's kind of what I expected anyway. So if anything, I'm actually a bigger picture. Maybe we could just talk. We'll talk about this tomorrow, whatever. But there's a huge variety of movies in the theater this weekend that people could go watch. And that's actually pretty cool. I guess we can maybe get into that tomorrow. But yeah, I'll be watching it, of course, because it's Shazam. And I watch everything, so it doesn't really matter.
An interesting, sticking on the idea of movie scores and stuff. God, man, I really wish I could. Like, if I turn on this dark mode, then it blocks out what the freaking symbols are. So whatever, the bright white washes me out. Anyways, John Wick Chapter 4 has got a release date in May. It's like May 27th or something like that. No, March 24th. I looked up. Yeah, May 27th. Oh God, Google, you're jerks. John Wick Chapter 4 is March 24th. Jeez. Google being stupid, as you guys can see on the screen if you are looking on YouTube. Anyways, 91% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a few perfect scores. A movieguy.com gave it a 4 out of 4. Nerdist, 5 out of 5. IGN gave it a perfect 10. Movies and Munchies here on YouTube, 5 out of 5. What to Watch, 5 out of 5. Gone with the Twins gave it a 4 out of 10. That's crazy. But yeah, like the movie is killing it as far as scores. Lots of high grades, 9.5 out of 10, 4.5 out of 5, 3.5 out of 4. Exciting, man. I saw John Wick for the first time on a bus on the way from Fort Stewart down to Florida to do some training when I was in the Army. And it was just like this, wow, that is a badass freaking movie. And I've enjoyed the series so far. What do you think, man? And do you feel like they could have the best movie 4 in?
They're kind of repetitive, man, but that's what we're there for. It's a similar situation as Shazam, where it's basically John Wick beating the crap out of people, and I'm there for it. My biggest concern about it has been its runtime.
Yeah.
And if it also gets a bit repetitive, like, all right, like, yeah, let's get to it. But it's directed by a former stunt coordinator, stunt artist himself. So So I like the visuals for it. It's fun to watch. It's very pleasing to the eye. So as far as like which one's better, like I don't know. At this point, they kind of run together. Like there's some sequences that I can't tell you exactly. Like you pointed out, I'm gonna be like, that's from one of the John Wick movies.
Yeah.
This is the one that I'm gonna ask you questions. Like this is the one where you see him fight Donnie Yen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So like I'm excited to see that. And I don't know what else.
Highest rated one so far. The lowest rated was the first film at 86. Second and third got 89 respectively. The audience score has gone up with each movie, going from 81 to 85 to 86. And of course, no score yet for Chapter 4. I dig it. I hope it is the best yet. I asked Christine yesterday, you know, how many movie franchises do you know where the fourth film is the best?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, not a lot. I know a lot of people think Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, which is its fourth,
Goblet of Fire.
Its fourth, is the best for that. And I know a lot of people love Rocky IV has the Russian, or was that 5?
Yeah, yeah, it's Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Because Rocky III was Clubber Lang.
Yep, and people love Rocky IV, except for the robot.
What's wrong with the robot?
Paulie's robot's stupid, man. So 80s. But yeah, it's usually like a second film sometimes might be people's favorites, where you get like an Empire Strikes Back or... yeah, man. I don't know. I hope it's good. So
I'm sure it's gonna be great. But like I said, they kind of run together.
They can.
But I'm here. Like I said, I'm here for it. I'm excited for it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Let's go back to DC, and I really should have done this story after, but I had gone to Shazam, and then I kind of was like, oh yeah, I forgot. I read about this awesome. Score for John Wick, but James Gunn, the smacker downer of rumors, has struck again. this time with regards to the upcoming Penguin series, and CBR had apparently reported that Pattinson might not appear as Batman in the Penguin series, but can still appear as Wayne or the Drifter. TV rights for Batman are caught up in a legal limbo involving Fox, Disney, and a trio of mergers. James Gunn jumped in on a tweet sharing that story, saying that it's not true. I'm not sure if the tweet sharer was, or the article sharer was the author or not, but anyways, Twitter handle at EricMTS123 replied, "Isn't it true the rights issue, or that Rob will appear in the Penguin series?" James Gunn says the rights issue is not true. Man, that is a weird thing, a weird situation, and also kind of weird on what that leaves for whether or not Pattinson can or will appear in the Penguin series. And I'm always one of those people where to me, Batman and Spider-Man, their rogues are who they are, and they are who their rogues are, more importantly. And outside of comics, where you know that you're going to immediately reconnect in the next issue or two, I don't know how well Batman stuff works without Batman. I haven't really cared for much of it. Same with Spider-Man. Venom has been awful for the number one reason of he makes no sense without having interacted with Spider-Man first.
Look, man, I love Gotham. So,
but also I'm not the world's biggest Batman fan. So I'm not saying like my way or the highway or anything. Just like I don't get it, but. I love guns smacking down the rumors. I don't know, what do you think? Do you need Batman in your Penguin series?
Not necessarily if it's done right. There's a whole criminal underworld that they can explore. That would be really, that'd be great. They did. Once you accept that Gotham for what it was, which was they're gonna take their own spin on characters, and it's not necessarily gonna always follow that canon version of characters. And once you accepted that they can't say the word Joker, it became a very enjoyable show. Yeah, sure, some characters are very dull. Unfortunately, Ben McKenzie as Gordon was the dullest of all of them. So Penguin series can work, especially when you have it in the hands of Matt Reeves, who's been a proven storyteller. Yeah. And you know, been able to really do a good job with the Batman, and you know, you could for the time being, you would trust him with it, because he made the Riddler, who was often seen kind of as a joke, you know, side character, self-defeating, of course.
Yeah.
And the only most people's version of him is either the animated version or Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
To be able to elevate him into more of a Zodiac killer, into an actual threat, was very, very well done. Especially once you saw how he integrated things like Reddit like sites and able to kind of, you know, drum up that kind of danger with groups and things.
Yeah. Yeah, he also reminded me a bit of a Son of Sam killer. I forget the guy's actual name, but the everyone wanted to go Zodiac, and I dark here. I love serial killer stuff, but I think there was also definitely some God, what was his name? Right now, the BTK Berkowitz name is in my mind for some reason. Son of Sam. But anyways, no, yeah, Berkowitz, that was son of Sam. Jeez, who was the BTK? Anyways, yeah, it's a thing that can work. I'm down to see it work, but like I said, for me, I see the rogues for Batman and Spider-Man differently than almost anyone. I mean, hell, Doom, Dr. Doom, makes a better Iron Man villain, in my opinion, than Reed or the Fantastic Four. Dr. Doom makes a better Marvel villain, like against, you know, Marvel Universe, the Avengers, if you will, than he does specifically for the Fantastic Four. And as a matter of fact, I generally think Galactus more for Fantastic Four than I do Doom, despite knowing that, you know, they are very, very, very yeah. connected. You know, just some characters you're just like, especially with Spider-Man when they're talking, like, you know, the Kraven movie and the Venom stuff, and they wanted to do the Black Cat and Silver Sable stuff, and I know they're not necessarily villains, but, you know, anti-heroes, whatever. I don't know, man. I hope it's all good, but I like it when the villains are villains, and I'm always worried about how and not necessarily with Reeves like you said, but I'm always worried about how studios are going to try to humanize and empathize, sympathize, whatever eyes you need the villain to soften them up and make them I don't want to use relatable, because that's not the word, but just make them easier to consume. I don't know, because, man, I grew up with bad guys that were bad guys, you know.
Yeah, bad guys are bad guys. Yeah.
Darth Vader was a bad guy. There was no ifs, ands, ors, or buts about it. You realize that, sure, maybe he had, and this is before the prequels, of course, that he had some turned down the dark side, got duped into it, but dude was committed. Vader was a committed bad guy, and I dug that. Sephiroth from mm-hmm. Final Fantasy VII, committed bad guy. I dug that. There's no altruistic shit. He's I know better than you. for you. So let me destroy this planet. like it's okay to have those bad guys, and they can still be deep and have good stories. And they just don't all need to be, tragic villains. It's okay for them to just be really well-developed bad guys.
Yeah, Disney has totally ruined villains. starting with Ultron. That's actually my biggest complaint. But yeah, a lot of them need to be redeemed for whatever reason at the end. It was super annoying, especially in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
That series. Yeah, just in general. Yeah, just let him.
But Bucky does get redeemed. That's even comic book accurate. Like,
that's comic book accurate. But there's some characters that they're really irredeemable.
Yeah.
Like, for example, DC did such a good job in their comics with Lex Luthor when they let him join the Justice League. Because they just let it go for so long, but the entire time, you know, the entire universe of readers is just sitting there with the arms crossed, just waiting for him to do something, evil. Because we know that's just who he is, deep down. So, yeah, just let villains be villains, and I think that should be the way it is, because you need to differentiate the bad guys from the good guys, and not everyone is redeemable. That is a fact of life, and you need to stop telling people that the other way, because they can get you in trouble.
Well, I mean, look at Marvel's Thunderbolts movie. I mean, it's nothing but the redeemed villains of past things, and some of them aren't even necessarily redeemed villains. You know, Ghost was just trying to stay alive. Black Widow, the new Black Widow. What is her name? Florence Pugh's character.
Florence Pugh. That is. Oh shoot. Oh yeah, no.
See what you did to
Yelena. Yelena.
There you go.
Oh, her actual name. Yeah.
Yeah, Yelena. The character's name. Yelena was under mind control, not really anyone that needed to be redeemed. Her mm-hmm. dad, the Guardian, was just the product of regular Russian, you know, propaganda, but even he turned out to not be, I mean, really the, and then Taskmaster, quote-unquote Taskmaster again. Someone under brain control. Like, holy crap, they're, and I know, you know, if you look up Thunderbolts and you go through and here on YouTube on YouTube, if you're watching, you'll see sometimes the teams are filled with literal bad guys, Bullseye and freaking Venom, and other times it'll be, you know, kind of the rough Avengers like Giant Man or something like that. But quite often it's got bad guys doing, you know, pushing the very, very limits and stuff like that. And some of these might be just fan stuff. I mean, Zemo and what was it? Songbird or God, I can't remember her name, but we can't even have the Thunderbolts be bad guys that you bring on to do the work. It's gotta be redeemed bad guys or some mm-hmm. some anti-hero types. And yes, sometimes they use those on the team, but it goes to the repetitive nature of what we're complaining about with the villains.
Yeah.
I was excited. Man, my dream Thunderbolts team for an MCU movie was like Zemo, Killmonger, Claw, Hammer. Like I wanted the bad guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least you could, you know, Iron Man 2's got a lot of issues. Justin Hammer was a bad guy.
Yeah,
he was a greedy, self-centered bad guy. I loved it. I like the actor that played him. Name's escaping me. Sorry, you guys know I get issues like that. But That was like the team that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for me, man.
Yep.
I'm done. My brain is obviously starting to struggle. Anyway, so guys, we got a lot of other great content, especially when I'm not sick. So please do subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or hit the follow button on your favorite podcast app. Great shows like The Cantina, currently doing The Mandalorian Season 3, Anime Versal Reviews, and AVR Squared, Breaking Geek. Lots of great content. You guys can find all the links there. See it on your screen. Check out LRMonline.com every day for written articles, celebrity interviews that go up on the LRM YouTube channel, and written reviews and more. Anything else, Manny?
Days of Our Lives has been renewed for 2 seasons.
What?
Exactly.
Bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.